Good to see a family serving the Lord together. I appreciate that so very much. Let me mention, if I could, that... Go ahead, young people. They're leaving anyway. We are, of course, recording our messages and putting them on our website now. And so they're available for you on our website. And you can just follow the links there for them if you would like. If you do not have the internet available to you or would like them on a CD, we can do that for you as well. If you're interested, just let me or let Mrs. Pickett over here know, and we'll make sure and take care of that for you. But they are on the website, and you can listen to them there. Deuteronomy chapter 32 in our Bibles. Deuteronomy chapter 32, we were there last week. We're going to be there again this week. And Deuteronomy chapter 32 in our Bibles. And verse 1, it says, "Give ear, O ye heavens, and I will speak, and hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. My doctrine shall drop as the rain, my speech shall distill as the dew, as the small rain upon the tender herb, and as the showers upon the grass. Because I will publish the name of the Lord. Ascribe ye greatness unto our God. He is the rock. His work is perfect. For all his ways are judgment, a God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is he." Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you that in this troubled world, when things to be shifting and changing and seems moment by moment, that we have a rock on which to stand. Thank you for our rock, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Help us, Lord, this morning as we look at your word to see that indeed that our faith is built upon the rock and is secure and it will not change. Help us to understand that salvation is only through this rock, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We'll give you the praise what you accomplish now in Jesus' name. Amen. As you've seen, we have some new banners up in the church. Up here, "May our faith be seen in 2016. The just shall live by faith." As you go out, we have some fridge magnets for you. You can put them on the fridge or whatever you visit more frequent than the fridge. I don't know what that might be, but you can put those on and they'll be available for you on the way out. And I want us to consider through this year, through 2016, our faith. Our faith. And we have to understand that it is our faith that is important, is our faith that is essential. And we talk about, may our faith be seen. Who should see our faith? First of all, our God in heaven should see our faith. Second of all, our brothers and sisters in Christ should see our faith. And third, the lost should see our faith. There should be a difference. We should be a distinct. The Bible calls us a peculiar people. We should be different than the world. You ever met someone and you never met before, you never seen, you had no intention of meeting that day, but it's just, and we talk about a chance encounter, and immediately you knew there was something different about that individual. They weren't like everybody else you'd met that day, and just take just a couple moments to know that they are a born-again Christian. Why? Because they are unique. They're different. They're peculiar in this world. May our faith be seen in 2016. My Sunday morning messages over the next, I don't know how long, are going to cover this topic of faith. We look at the Bible and there are just, I don't know how many references to faith in the Bible. We're going to, in the next few weeks, look at this phrase, "The just shall live by faith." We see that phrase over and over and over again. The just, those who have been justified through the blood of our Savior Jesus Christ, should live by faith. Well, hopefully we'll learn and get just a glimpse into what that means, what that might mean for our life. But what is faith? Faith is a little like love. It's talked about a lot, but understood very little. What is faith? We find that in Colossians 2:7, it talks about the faith, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith as you have been taught. When it talks about the faith, it's the body of divine truth as found in scriptures. It's the faith. The faith. And we look at the just shall live by faith. It has two different parts to it, really. First, will you live by the faith, the body of truth we find in scriptures? Not what men is taught, not what we add to, not what we think. I get a little weary sometimes of folks say, well, I think the Bible means this here, and I think the Bible means this here. And you know, the Bible means one thing in one place, and that's it. It says the scripture is not of any private interpretation, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. The faith. We live by the faith. The body of divine truth we find in scriptures. But also, faith we find is not just the body of divine truth. Hebrews 11 verse 1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. So what is faith? We talk about faith, living by faith. What is living by faith? Sometimes we think that living by faith is kind of like living on a whim and a prayer. That, you know, I kind of hope this might happen, and I wish this might happen, and maybe it might happen, and it might be good if it happened, and if everything works out, and what we are praying for, then all of a sudden, oh, that's great. But that's not faith. Faith is a confident trust in the power of God and the truth of His Word. A confident trust in the power of God and the truth of His Word. See, we have faith. We can have faith in God because we see the truth of the Word God here in His pages. We have faith. You know, there's a lot of things today that we look and we know we cannot have faith in. If we look today and look at the economy of Canada, we know we cannot have faith in the economy. Our dollar is dropping like a rock. The economy in Canada, based on a natural resources economy with the world slowing down, we can't have faith in our economy because it is not stable. It is not something that is sure and secure and established. I know this will come as a shock to you. Hold on to your seats. We can't have faith in government. Why do you laugh when I say that? I had the privilege of meeting Kathy Bennett, our finance minister, for the province on Friday evening at the reception. Nice lady. Had a good time talking with her and others that were there with their family group. But as nice a lady as she is, as much wisdom she has in business and finance, the government cannot solve our problems. If we have faith in our government, then we are going to be disappointed. If we look and say, well, I've got faith in an individual. You know, Dave Stokes, he's a good man. I got faith that Dave Stokes is always going to do the right thing. I got faith that Dave Stokes will never let me down. Do you know what? Dave's a great guy. I've known him a good while. But you know what? Dave will not intentionally, he will not purposely, but I'm afraid he'll let me down sometime. Because he's human. I'm human. You can say, well, I've got faith in the preacher. Well, that's a pretty shaky place to put your faith. Because I'm going to let you down. I'm not going to try to. I'm not going to purposely let you down. Well, I have faith in the church. Well, you know, I think we have a great church. I really do. All God's people said. Amen. 8 of us said that. I think we have a great church. But if our faith is in the church, then you know what? The church is made up of people. And people are fallible and people will let you down. So you say, well, I came in out of church and I came in and nobody said hi to me at all. Well, who did you say hi to? Well, I was waiting for them to say hi first, and they all let me down. I came to church, and I'd missed church on Sunday night, and I came back on Wednesday night, and nobody said, where were you on Wednesday? You know what, people, the problem is that, you know, many times, listen, the problem is not other people, the problem is our expectations for other people. Understand that. But I say this all to say that faith has to be in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So we find here in Deuteronomy chapter 32, in verse 4, He is the rock. He is the rock. The rock is not the church. The rock is not a leader in the church. The rock is not an individual. The rock is Jesus Christ. Faith. So what is our faith to be built on? It's to be built on the foundation. Foundations are important. This church was built. I wasn't here when this church was built, but I've seen enough. I've seen enough building to know that beneath this church is a concrete foundation. Down below the frost line. Down to where it doesn't matter if the snow and the rain and things move and things and the ground moves outside, that it's built upon a foundation that does not move. It's essential that a building be built upon a foundation, upon something that's solid, something that's unmovable. It's essential that our faith be built upon something that does not move and does not change. It's incredible to me the way things change. I want to write a commentary sometime. What have you done with my country? You know, I think back, Mrs. Holman and I have been in Canada a little more than 30 years now. And the Canada of 30 years ago is very different from the Canada of today. Why? Because things have changed. Things are different. But we have to understand that our faith must be built upon the rock. We say this year, the just shall live by faith. Live by faith upon our rock, Jesus Christ. We live by faith. Our life, our conduct is to be a pattern, to be patterned after our rock, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. Who is this rock? Matthew 16, 18, Christ is speaking to Peter. He says, I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock, speaking of himself, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Christ is using a play on words because Peter is in the original language is a word for rock, but it's a word for a small piece of rock. And he uses two different words. He says, Peter, you're a little rock. I am the rock. Upon this rock, I am the living rock. I am the rock, a solid wall, a cliff of rock that does not move. And upon this rock, I will build my church. Jesus Christ is the rock. So we look down through here, we see a number of references down through the scripture in chapter 32 to the rock. We want to consider those this morning. First of all, we have to understand that our rock is perfect. Look at verse 4. We read this verse as we began. It says, He is the rock. Notice it doesn't say He is a rock. He is the rock. His work is perfect. For all His ways are judgment, a God of truth and without iniquity. Just and right is He. This is poetry. And Moses, as he's reciting this, is building one upon another. Notice he says, first of all, He is the rock. On that He builds. His work is perfect. On that He builds. All His ways are judgment. On that He builds. He's a God of truth and without iniquity. On that He builds. Just and right is He. He can't get more descriptive of a God that is perfect, a rock that is perfect, a God of truth and without iniquity. We understand truth. There is not measures of truth. Truth is truth. False is false. He's a God of truth and without iniquity. Psalm 92 and verse 15, it says, to show that the Lord is upright. He is, notice what it says there, He is my rock. My rock. And there is no unrighteousness in Him. We often speak of the phrase, my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Making it personal, making it possessive. And here, the psalmist in Psalm 92, verse 15, says, not only is God perfect, I am a beneficiary of His perfection. He's perfect all his ways. There is none of his ways that are not judgment. There are none of his ways that are not truth. There are none of his ways in which there is iniquity. He is always just. He is always right or righteous. We have to understand that we have a rock that does not change. We have a rock that is perfect and complete. Because think of this with me now. If God were not perfect and complete, if there were a small crack, a small flaw, a small error, then how could God atone for our sins if he himself were flawed? See, it's essential that we have a rock that is perfect, a rock that has no flaws. I enjoy driving and driving down the highway. You see some place where they've cut through the rock to as you go here up the Doe Hills, and that big long grade that goes down from the Doe Hills where they cut through the solid rock there. And you look up at the rock and see the solid rock on both sides. But if you look carefully, it's not completely solid. Because you see someplace there's some cracks and some fissures, and the ice and the water has got in there and frozen, and sometimes it calves off pieces of rock and they fall onto the highway. But our rock is perfect. There is no place for contamination. There is no place for something to come in and to separate something away from him. Our God, our rock, is perfect. I want us to understand, second of all, that the foundation of our faith, our rock provides. Look down with me at verse 13 of our chapter. It says, he made him to ride on the high places of the earth, that he might eat the increase of the fields. He made him to suck honey out of the rock and oil out of the flinty rock. Our God provides. Might eat of the increase of the fields. Did you ever suck on a rock? I'm told if you're really thirsty, if you put a pebble in your mouth and suck on it, that'll help. I don't know. I've never tried that. That never seemed a lot of sense to me, to put a stone in my mouth and suck on it when there's nothing in it. But what are they talking about here? We know that in the book preceding this, that twice Moses brought water from a rock. Twice Moses, once he smote the rock. He was supposed to speak to it the second time. He didn't. He smote the rock the second time. But water came forth from the rock, a gusher from that rock, to water millions of people and their animals. A huge river of water out of a living rock. Out of a place in which there was no water. It wasn't the fact that the wall of rock was there and there was just a skim coat over top of this water, and Moses taps it with a stick and the rocks break and the water comes out. No, that wasn't the case. Moses, the first time, smote the rock, and where it was solid rock, going back hundreds of feet, water came out from that place. A miraculous outpouring of the goodness of God to the children of Israel. Water from the rock. But here, in Deuteronomy 32, it talks about honey out of the rock. Oil out of the flinty rock. Two of the precious things that were necessary for survival of the people. Honey that gave the sweetness to their food, to their bread, and oil. Talking about olive oil that came from, as normally it came from, a lot of hard work of tending the trees and watching over and protecting the trees and picking the ripe olives and putting them into a press and pressing the olives and gathering the oil from the press and filtering the oil to filter out impurities to have that pure water. And now Jesus Christ says, I am the rock that provides. The best things in life are available through me. The best things in life are available through our rock, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, we look and the world tries to tell us today the best things in life are only available through Hollywood. They're only available on the internet. They're only available through the pleasures that the world says it has for us. But all those things fade, don't they? All those things, you know, the Bible says there is pleasure in sin for a season. But it doesn't satisfy. It doesn't satisfy. Our rock is the rock that provides. Our rock as well, number three, is the rock that saves. Verse 15, Deuteronomy 32 and verse 15 says, "For Jerusalem waxed fat and kicked. Thou art waxen fat, thou art grown thick, thou art covered with fatness. Then he forsook God which made him and lightly esteemed the rock of his salvation." Lightly esteemed the rock of his salvation. It's talking about here that after God provided all the good things, the honey and the oil, look at verse 14, butter of kine, milk of sheep, fat of lambs, rams of the breed of Bashan, goats with the fat of the kidneys of wheat, and thou didst drink the pure blood of the grapes. All the good things I gave you, but in the midst of all the good things I gave you, you rebelled against me. You rebelled against the rock of your salvation. I think he was thinking of two different things here. First of all, the rock that saved you out of Egypt. Because it was the rock, Jesus Christ, that went before them. And Corinthians tells us the rock that followed them was Christ. It was the rock, Jesus Christ, that brought the plagues upon the land of Egypt. It was the rock, Jesus Christ, that parted the Red Sea. It was the rock, Jesus Christ, that brought the Red Sea back on the armies of Egypt. It was the rock that gave them water. It was the rock that led them and protected them, provided them in the wilderness. It was the rock of their salvation. But the children of Israel understood as well that salvation was only through the person of Jesus Christ. Only through the Son of God who would come and pay for their sins. We kind of somehow think that the Old Testament people were not as aware of the need of salvation, not as aware that salvation was only in Jesus Christ. They were very aware. That's why God had them construct the tabernacle. Each thing in the tabernacle they understood pointed to Jesus Christ. If we go through the Old Testament books from Genesis on through, we see that each of those books are like a red arrow pointing towards our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He is the rock of our salvation. Peter is preaching in Acts chapter 4, and he says, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby ye must be saved." We have to understand that Jesus is the rock of salvation. Jesus is not a rock of salvation. It's not in this world today that there are many different ways you can get to heaven. There's not the way that the Eastern cultures think, and not the way that the native culture thinks, and not the way that the European culture thinks, and not the way that the Asian... There's not all these different ways of salvation. There is one way of salvation, and that's only through Jesus Christ. It's only through Him. Psalm 62 and verse 2 says, "He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved." Notice it says, "He only is my rock." Oh, come. Psalm 95 verse 1. "Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise unto the rock of our salvation." Jesus Christ is the rock of salvation. We can put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. In this rock that will not move. We find the rock is a creator as well. Deuteronomy 32 and verse 18. It says, "Of the rock that begat thee, thou art unmindful, and hast forgotten the God that formed thee." We have to understand this rock that led the children of Israel, this rock, when Jesus said, "This I am the rock, and upon this rock I will build my church." This is the same individual that created everything that exists, that created the heavens and the earth, that created life, that breathed into man's nostrils the breath of life, that created every living thing we see today as it is from his own word. So Isaiah 32, 43 and verse 21. "This people have I formed for myself." Isaiah 44 and verse 24. "Thus saith the Lord thy Redeemer, and he that formed thee from the womb, I am the Lord that maketh all things, that stretcheth forth the heavens above, and that spreadeth abroad the earth by myself. See, God did not need a process, and God did not need an evolutionary process in order to create the world. God said, I did it by myself. He did it by himself, and of course he did it in six literal 24-hour days. God created everything that exists. He is the rock. He is the creator. We have to understand my last thought. Verse 31. It says, for their rock is not as our rock. If you look in that verse, in verse 31, you see the first rock is not capitalized. The second is. The second is a proper name. Their rock is not our rock. 2 Samuel 22, verse 32 says, who is God save the Lord? Who is a rock save our God? Our rock is unique. There are many things in the world that people worship. We can all look at people that worship nature. And they worship the trees and the rocks and the hills and the fish and the goats and I don't know what all. They worship nature. There are people that worship themselves. We call that humanists. Secular humanists that worship mankind itself. There are people that worship prosperity. There are people that worship riches. There are people that worship fame. But we have to understand that all those things are false. Jesus Christ in the New Testament talks about two different men building two different houses. Building on the rock and building on the sand. As I was growing up, I had a great picture of that for me. My folks had a cabin up on Lake Superior, on the south shore of Lake Superior. We used to go over there just a week or maybe 2 weeks in the summer was all we could get there. When I was the first as a child, we went up there and there was a park there called Cayley Park. And we'd go out to the park, and I was just small then, started going up when I was 4 or 5 years old. And there were swings there and a water pump and picnic tables and grills, and we'd go and have a nice time. And there was a little bay called East Bay there, and then a peninsula of land separating that from Lake Superior. East Bay was kind of shallow and nice to swim in for little children. And we had a great time there, and then from the park headed back inland, there were some houses there that enjoyed the park and the setting there by the water. But that whole southern shore of Lake Superior, I shouldn't say whole, great portions of that southern shore are sand. Not far away are some huge sand dunes called the Grand Sable Dunes, beautiful sand dunes. But that park was built on sand. We came back one summer and looked, and the peninsula was gone. You could look right from the park, right straight out to the water, to open water there. And then we went up another year, and the park was gone. The swings were gone, the picnic tables, the grills. All was left, you could see out there, about 100 feet out in the water, you could see a pump, a water pitcher pump, old pitcher pump out there. We went to get up another year, and the first house was missing. All you could see was the concrete septic tank left. The house was gone. The water had washed that out to the lake. Why? It was built on the sand. The waters changed. The currents changed. And because that was built on sand, as the water and the currents changed, there was nothing stable to hold it. We have to understand there are a lot of things today that people worship. But as the winds and the waves of this life blow and the water flows back and forth, it washes out beneath them and they cannot stand. And we know they will not stand the test of time and eternity because they're not built upon the rock. Children sing a song, the wise man built his house upon the rock. The rain came down and the floods came up. And the house on the rock stood firm. But the foolish man, we do motion to them, built his house on the sand. The rains came down, the floods came up, and the house on the rock went splat. It's sad, and honestly, I don't take any joy in this. But it's sad that we see a lot of lives going because they're built on the sand. And as the waves and the winds and the currents come, it washes everything they thought was solid and secure out from under them, and their life crumbles. That's a great opportunity to try to be a friend and a help to them and present to them the rock, Jesus Christ. Our rock is unique. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 4, he says, "To whom coming is unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture," notice what he says, "Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded." Confounded. You know, when lives go splat, people are confounded. Why? Because they said, they told me this was sure. They told me this was secure. They told me this was stable. They told me I could build my life, my future, my existence on this, and now it's gone. But Christ is that chief cornerstone that Peter was talking about. That chief cornerstone that he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. What do we understand from Deuteronomy chapter 32 here? What faith is? Faith is the body of divine truth. Faith is the trust, our trust in the power of the Word of God. We know that we gain faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Faith is only found through the pages of the Word of God. It doesn't say faith cometh through experience. Jesus Christ is the rock, is the foundation of our faith. We have faith in a God who is perfect, who is a provider, a savior, a creator, and who is unique. Let me ask you this morning, where's your faith? I know that you're wise enough to understand that faith in the things we talk about, the economy and government and those things, faith, that it's just not secure and it will not stand. But I'm afraid the biggest thing we put faith in these days is putting faith in ourselves. I can handle it. And we think so until the dark clouds come, till a storm comes, till the rains come. See, God wants you to put your faith in him for salvation. Neither is there salvation in any other. You see, the Bible is very clear. And that's the only thing I have to go on, okay? The Bible is very clear. There's a place called heaven, there's a place called hell. We're all going to end up in one of those two places. The gateway to heaven is not good works. It's not church. It's not communion, confirmation, baptism, none of those things. The gateway to heaven is Jesus Christ. For whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's the only way to heaven. And we understand that. But do we as Christians sometimes live a life, instead of putting our faith in God and a faith in something that does not and cannot change, we put our faith and confidence in things that are shaky at best. And then we wonder why we struggle so. Just bow your heads and close your eyes. Heads bowed and eyes closed and no one looking around.